From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh.
In a year where we sadly lost good friends and great people, where terrible arse clowns grew to power, the world keeps spinning towards apocalypse, but we can at least look back and be grateful that we read all the reviews before paying money for Seafall.
What an apt and very elegant way to introduce the show, Dice Men Cometh.
If you understood that reference, then welcome, Dice Peeps. I am, of course, Leon, joined by...
Trent.
And Garth.
On this, The Dice Men Cometh, on episode 145 on December the 15th, 2016, on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. If you thought everything I just said then was utterly gibberish, I do apologise. This next hour is going to be very confusing.
Yeah, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, I say I apologise. That's just me being polite. I don't actually, because we like what we do and we do who we like. Now, Garth.
Yes. Speaking of people you like who you do.
What?
What?
What are we doing this evening?
Oh, my God. We are doing what we like this evening, which is talking nothing but board games, card games, dice games, tabletop games, role-playing games, and anything else that involves a table and something else. We will start with talking about what we have been playing this week or lately, depending on your interpretation of it, which is a deck builder with a twist. A green and verdant twist, you might say, because we are talking Mystic Veil. We will then go into some iOS news, and we will start this little conversation about our game of the year, which I'm sure we'll have a little bit of discussion about that. And Leon, you might want to talk to the lovely people about a competition that we're currently running.
I have heard of such things, and I can enlighten thee.
All of this as we head towards the end of 2016, which we just can't bloody wait for. Just hurry up and end already, please. It's Edge Radio, The Dice Men Cometh.
Ding, the soothing sounds of Jackson Dyer with Projection Abstraction. You're with The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3. Now, that was quite a fitting song because it was mellow, it was relaxing. You could see yourself listening to it out in the wilderness or the forest.
Yeah, well, just like 2016, mellow
exactly.
And relaxing.
Yeah, nothing bad has happened at all this year. And on that note, Trent, would you like to talk to us about Mystic Veil?
Oh, the most relaxing deck builder ever. It's got that sort of pastoral, druidy theme.
Yeah, it's if hippies... smoke some weed and then decided to play some games.
It's a card crafting game of druids.
Druids?
I always think of Spinal Tap. trying to cleanse the land of curses, but competing while doing it for some reason.
Now I can't get the Stonehenge song out of my head. I watched that the other day. My God.
It's card... crafting is what they call it, competing mm-hmm. for victory points. It's essentially a deck builder, right, with a sort of push-your-luck mechanism. Mystic Veil, released earlier this year through AEG, designed by John D. Clare, who's done not an awful lot before. What is card crafting, I hear you ask? What a fabulous question.
Yeah.
It works with plastic sleeves, and you don't have to go out and buy these and spend all night sleeving your cards. They come with the box. Your starting deck includes many cards that have blank slots on them, spaces divided into thirds on the cards, or indeed entirely blank cards, and you can, during the game, purchase clear plastic inserts that slide into the sleeves, filling those blank thirds up. And each of the three sections add to various powers of that card when played. Have I described it right?
Yeah, you have. So, like every deck builder on the planet, you start with a pretty mundane deck of a dozen or so cards. But where this is different is that the majority of those cards are blank or very, very useless. But it's also... unlike every other deck builder, in that you are crafting, creating, making your own cards rather than purchasing additional cards to go into your deck.
Yeah, Mystic Veil isn't the first game to sort of do this with the clear plastic inserts and clear plastic cards, but it really works.
Yeah, it does.
It's very clear, and it's not just a sort of add-on that's pretty. It's an integral part of the game, and it's very easy to grasp as well.
It is, yeah. Because I was doing some form of half-ass research in preparation for this.
My goodness!
I know, and it didn't really take that long because this game is really not that complicated.
No.
Like a lot of deck builders, you've got two main currencies. You've got the currency that allows you to purchase things. You've got the currency that is bad. That means that your go will essentially end. You've got then some bonus point cards that you'll get to when you reach certain benchmarks as well.
Yeah,
but teaching it, if anyone has played a deck build before, this game explanation is done in a couple of minutes.
And I think even if you haven't,
yeah,
right, very, very easy to get into.
And because of, as you said, the different kinds of like power on the cards they're used to buying other things. It's very similar to Splendor in that respect, that you've got one lot of power which lets you buy upgrade cards, and then the other ones, which are the big ones that are going to get you big game-winning points, you just get them automatically. Well, sorry, it takes a turn, but you will get them later on in the game with the stuff that you've already built from your cards.
Mm, yeah.
So between a general deck builder and Splendor kind of mashed together with pretty-looking art, it seems like a good idea.
So in your basic deck in Mystic Vale, you'll start off with a pack of cards. There are cursed lands in it and fertile lands and, as I say, some blank cards. You can fill all of these with various inserts. On you go, you turn over your cards from your deck to reveal either mana and or spoil symbols. You need mana to buy the inserts, but if you push your luck and turn over too many spoil symbols, your game ends, which brings me to my single favourite bit of Mystic Vale, which is that every player has a separate mana token, a cardboard token, to spend because there's never enough mana.
No.
And you flip the token over to get this little bonus. It only flips back if you spoil on your go. So if your go spoils, then you know, you've got an incentive to spend that token at all times. It resets, gives you a little bit of a compensation if you do spoil on your go. Just a marvellous little simple mechanic that I've not seen that many times.
No, exactly, and I agree. And what I do like about this this mechanic is that you're flipping the cards one by one from the top of your deck for all to see. So there is no hidden information about the cards that you've got in your hand. They're going to be seen by everybody.
Mm.
And I love that push your luck mechanic because if you have been able to draft the right inserts to go in your cards, you'll be able to push your luck and get half a dozen or more cards out there with an increasing amount of mana. But at the start of the game particularly, it's a bit of a slow burn because you might be getting two mana or three mana, and then you'll have three spoil. And as soon as you've got four spoil, you're stuffed.
Yeah.
Your turn is over.
You say a slow burn, but the game actually moves at a relatively fast clip because it's not that complicated at all. Once after the first round, you're just like, oh, that's it. Okay, you get it. But back to the spoiling. When you do spoil on your turn, it is a horrible feeling, but getting that bonus is nice, so it is to know that it isn't all for naught. But I think the thing about this game, you talk to anybody about this game, you will mention, obviously, the cards and the sleeves, because that's its selling point.
Correct.
Really. But that push your luck is as good as any push your luck I think I've ever used in any game, because you do it often, and because of that extra bonus from the spoil, it's horrible, but it's not that horrible. And it happens a lot, and like everyone's kind of playing their turns very quickly, so you're almost kind of doing it by yourself, sitting there just like, come on, and then you look over at somebody else's hand, you're like, yeah, I did good, and then you see they've got 10 cards in the field, you're like, ah! But the push of luck is really good.
Yeah, look, I agree, and my immediate comparison when I sat down to play this for the first time was with this little deck builder called Flip City. Because this was a game that came out a little while ago. And
we've played this.
We have, yeah. And it's a little deck builder which has, for the most part, the identical mechanic.
Yep.
Where you can push your luck. The theme is you're trying to construct a city using your deck. So you're trying to get cards that are, you know, a residence or an office or a this or a that. But you're using the same mechanic, which is coins. So you want to flip to be able to get as many gold coins to buy the best cards. But you've also got the unhappy faces, which are the disappointed or the, I don't know, unhappy citizens. And as soon as you get to a certain number of those, point being, it's exactly the same mechanic done in a very beautiful way.
So you're up and running in virtually no time. All of this in a mad race towards the most victory points. But there's also some magical symbols that you can collect, and you can save those up to buy bonus cards, which give you more victory points. And like many deck builders, it's basically about creating card combos, powers that work together that offset each other. The difference is that the combos are all on the actual one card instead of multiple cards.
Yeah, you want to be buying a combination of cards that give you either extra mana or that remove spoil from cards, because you're buying cards that are somewhere between 2 and maybe 10 mana in value. You really want to make a decision, because it's quite clear, again, that there's never a huge number of those cards up for grabs. There might be 9 cards out on the table, but realistically, half of those you're not going to be able to afford for probably the first half of the game.
Yeah. Keep going.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that you really want to keep an eye on how many good things for yourself you're buying and how many stopping bad things happening for yourself are you going to buy, because the spoilage is what kills you a lot of the time, because you really go, oh, I've only got 3 mana and I've got 3 spoil, but I want to buy that card that costs 4 because it'll give me a boost in some way, shape or form, flip over the card. It's another mana and I've wasted... Oh, sorry, another spoil and I've wasted my
turn. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, and another great thing which helps with the enjoyment of the pusher luck is when you do start flipping over those cards, especially when it gets to the more tense moments, and you flip over this pimp card that you've built yourself. It's such a small thing, but it's such a nice feeling.
Just go, I did that. I made that card.
And then you look out onto all the cards you can buy and go, wicked, I've got 6 mana now. And, oh, all the stuff out there is rubbish at the moment.
Mm.
That's something we need to bring up, because that happened a couple of times.
It does.
Because there are a few cards in there, especially in the lower and middle section, that are just... We just looked at and went, they're just garbage. Why would we want them at all in any phase of the game?
Mystic Vale has been... you compared it to Flip City. It's also been compared to Dominion, and I think that's pretty fair in that it's very easy to learn. It's a bog standard deck builder, really, this card crafting thing aside, and it's also got very average art and a pasted on theme.
What? I'm glad that Mark's not here, because he would be turning in his grave to hear you critique the art.
I didn't realize the man was dead.
Well, he would be now after hearing that.
Look, I've got fantasy world fatigue, frankly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And when I hear that it's druids fighting each other over the curse of the natural.
But I mean, it could have been elks. That's not the word I went. There are lots of
it
elks.
It could have been elks.
There are lots of elks. What I meant to say was elves, orcs and goblins and stuff, but at least most of them are.
I want the game with the elks in it.
Yeah,
that's the Canadian edition.
I'm sure there was a moose in there somewhere.
No, and a lot of the art, it's very bog standard fantasy art with your elves and druids and, you know, men in beards and pretty women in long robes standing in a wind tunnel. And a lot of it's reprinted on the cards, really tiny, so you can't actually make out a lot of details. And some of the art reproduction in those tiny little symbols that are on the clear sheets, the clear cards, it doesn't look that great, frankly.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, to each their own, but I do really like it, and I think for me that does make it a bit more enjoyable.
There's also zero player interaction.
Yeah, which is weird. But mind you, though, and it's something I was going to bring up in a second, and I'll just bring it up now, this is the base game. Think of every other deck builder that we either like or even the ones that we don't. Like, you look at a Dominion or a Legendary or whatever, they've got 20 expansions.
Yeah, well,
Dominion's been around for a decade. Imagine if this was around for a decade and had that many different expansions.
Well, they'd want to be expansions, because there's very little variety or complexity with this game.
There is already, I think.
There's
one expansion already, and I'm sure there's another one.
I believe there's a second one that's
or
been
two along the way. Yeah. But like I said, imagine like Dominion with like 10 expansions. With this, like 5 expansions down the road, where one of them specifically adds heaps of conflict, or another one adds a different kind of theme or something or other. So the base idea of it is really good, but yeah, it just needs a bit more fleshing out.
I agree. I think you play this game a couple of times and you've seen everything that it has to offer.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of interest in how you construct your cards, because I really do like the fact that you've got to manage which part of the card you're putting stuff in, because as you said before, the plastic inserts, they're divided up into thirds. So you've got to really keep an eye on what card have I got available to slide this insert in?
Oh,
because the middle's already taken.
But that's hardly taxing.
No, look,
I don't think any of us had that problem once.
It's not hard. But annoying. There's nothing wrong with a game that is easy to pick up, easy to play, and quick to play.
Right.
It's bad when it plays for way too long, and this certainly does it. On BGG, it says it plays 45 to 60. I think that's really generous. It probably plays with people who know the game. In half an hour, you could get this game out of the way really, really easily.
Look, to swing it back to the positive, I do want to say that I think this is a good game for kids in particular, and it's I think it's very much my first deck builder.
Yeah.
And if you haven't played 100 games with pasted on fantasy themes, the art's not going to annoy you the way it annoyed me.
Oh, look, I think the theme...
I mean, it could have been elks.
I think the theme is appropriate. And especially with
Sure, there's an elk on one
look,
of those
Look, those big bonus point cards that you do get towards the last third of the game, they look beautiful and they are in keeping with the theme. You've got the haggard tree of flubba-dubba-dub that offers you wonderful...
Right, that's my point. The haggard... And it takes too long to get to the good cards. It was, come on,
the
it was
game
a little,
plays in half an hour.
It was a little bit of a slog, wasn't it?
No, because
no, I don't think anything under an hour can really be a slog, can it? And the pasted on theme, I don't know.
Ask my wife.
I actually can't defend pasted on theme because Marvel Legendary is like my favorite game ever, which is quite literally. Why don't we just make any version of this? Although the theme comes out in that game because it's great. But, paste them on.
But Marvel, okay, fine. Yes, Marvel Legendary pasted on theme and they've taken the same mechanic and pasted on a whole variety of themes. Yeah. And hello, we love the Alien Encounters game, whatever it's called. But those cards are wild, right? Yeah. And the cards that come up in that game completely break the rules. They have gone to the trouble of thinking through mechanics in the cards that'll utterly turn the game upside down.
Yes.
This does not do that.
But in the comparison, if we compare this to the first ever original Marvel base game Legendary, before any aliens, before any Marvel expansions, there was not... It was pretty as bog standard as you're going to get. So that's what I mean. Give this a bit of breathing room. Even this first expansion could be the groundbreaking thing already, let alone maybe one a little down the past.
But that's a bad thing. Having a game where we need to wait for expansions for it to be really, really good, I don't like that. I don't want to buy it.
I think it's
especially because this game is, from memory, $80-$90.
Yeah.
And the expansions are $40-$50.
Yeah, it's a bit on the expensive.
You're paying 100 and something Australian dollars to get arguably three quarters of a game. And I don't like that. One of my favourite deck builders is Arctic Scavengers, and I love the fact that the edition I've got has all the expansions thrown in there for the one base price. It's awesome. I don't like the fact that it seems to be that money grab where if you like it, pay $40, pay $50, keep going and going and going.
But again, if that's the stage you're at with your gaming and you're after a bit more variety, then move on aside from this.
Correct.
But if you are looking for something, perhaps a Christmas gift for a kid who hasn't played a lot of deck building or any, this is a good option because the gimmick of the card crafting will bring them in.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, there's plenty of young kids who play Pokemon and that kind of deck builder.
Right,
this is something for that next stage, a little bit more mature.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, my point is it's got a gooder base on this game, I think, as any base. It's just, is it great now? No. Could it be great? I think it's got a good enough base to be great. But we'll see how the future goes.
That's Mystic Veil from AEG. That is what we have been playing lately, and it's one of many fabulous games that have come out this year, some of which we've played, most of which we haven't, but we are going to talk about our games of the year.
We are.
This marvellous, marvellous, marvellous year that we've had that just frankly can't end soon enough.
Oh, it just never stops giving, does it?
We'll get into that in a little while, but we'll talk the latest iOS stuff in a moment with Garth live from the toilet on Edge Radio. It's the Dice Man Cometh on 99.3 FM. That was a bit of programmed gack from a mob calling themselves Vessels, and Echo Inn was the name of it. And you're listening to it on the radio station, Edge Radio 99.3 FM, which is the program, well, it's the radio station that brings you this program, and that program is the one that you're listening to right now, which is called The Dice Men Cometh, and it's your weekly dose of board games and card game news.
Well, that was very succinct.
Thank you.
Anyway, Garth.
Yes.
How about if I wanted some entertainment while I pooped?
Well, while you pooped? Well, some would say that pooping is entertainment.
That's a fair point.
However, if I was to
Is it really?
On a really slow day, yes.
But look, if I was to introduce a game by its soundtrack, what game would you think this is?
That sounds like something where you're flying through the universe, zapping sort of bugs, thereby reinforcing our fear of all things arachnid and insectoid.
Ah, okay. So...
something like all your base are belong to us. That's what I'm thinking.
All right. Okay, Leon?
I think it's probably the game you're about to tell us.
Wow.
I got nothing. Oh, you know what it is.
Yeah, because I can see it right in front of him. And the first opening bars, I saw it and I was like, is that? Oh, I see it. And then, but that bit was just generic as hell. So that's the answer I gave.
Answer he gave, which wasn't an answer at all. So what I will say...
what is the theme music to?
The theme music is to a beta or beta version of Takedo.
What?
The iOS app by Funforge Games.
Takedo being the game of wandering along that famous Japanese pilgrimage, where you collect...
stuff.
Marvelous vistas and experiences and encounter strangers and go shopping and eat food in fine restaurants and things like that.
Exactly right.
It's a nice little game.
And that is an exact perfect way to describe this, because it is... without a doubt, the game that I will sit down and play, and from the moment the box is opened, automatically not care who wins.
It's the above and below perfect Sunday arvo, relaxing after a nice lunch kind of game.
Exactly.
And that is nearly completely inappropriate music for
it. Well, it is a beta or beta, so who knows, that may change.
Maybe it's a stereotype, but I would have expected a wooden flute or something, maybe.
Well, maybe you have to play the game. So anyway, I have been lucky enough to receive a copy of the beta version of this by Funforge, and I've been playing it a little bit over the last couple of weeks, which has been very nice.
Ooh.
Because Takedo is a very nice game. It looks... and look, let's quickly talk about the actual board game version.
Mm.
It looks... beautiful. The board is big and white with little splashes of colour at each of the inns. And yes, as you said, Trent, you're making your way along this path, and along the way you will stop at a village and buy some stuff. You will stop at a temple and pray and donate money. You'll stop at a farm and for some reason dig up coins. You will go and get panoramas, the mountains and the water and the...
Monkeys.
And it is just a really nice experience.
It's got an interesting little tension in it as well, in that it's whoever's coming last on the Takedo Road is the person who goes first each turn.
Exactly, and I really do enjoy that mechanic, because the obvious option is to just take the next available space, because then you'll be the last player soonest, so you'll get another turn.
But you've also got to get ahead and get the best ones.
Correct.
For particular things that you're collecting.
Yeah.
Because you're generally hunting down sets of things.
And a lot of that is determined by your starting character. And look, getting back to the app version of this, it basically is the how to play Takedo condensed down into a 15-minute version, because it guides you through the way. It starts with, here are two or three potential options of characters that you could be. Which one do you want to be? And then it takes you straight to the start of the board. Now, unlike the board game, which is this horribly archaic 2D animal, this new version has entered the third dimension.
What?
It has. This board is now 3 or 3D, as they say.
What, you mean smell-o-vision?
Wait, hang on. It's 3D on your phone.
Correct.
But the physical one in real life is 2D.
Yeah.
I can't take it.
Because when cardboard is thinner than something, it loses 1D.
I've got to throw up.
So look, you are basically taking this 3D walk on your phone or your iPad or some electronic device. And it is very, very similar. All the 2D art on the board and on the cards is now 3D. Leon, you're squirming.
No, you kept saying nice so much, and I was just looking at the art for Takedo, and I was just thinking, oh, I'd murder a nap right now. That's how much of a Sunday afternoon game this is. I just looked at it and went, nap.
I don't think there's anything wrong with a Sunday afternoon game, especially after the Saturday nights I normally have at home.
Falling asleep in front of the television.
Yeah, you need a good solid nap the next day.
So, as you're, is it literally like a first-person shooter with you walking down the Takedo Road now? Or
no, see, they missed a great opportunity there. But
no, I don't think they did.
Throwing chopsticks into monkeys' eyes.
Anyway, so look, this game is the perfect way to calmly and peacefully kill 15 minutes on a bus when you're sitting next to someone who smells the wrong odour or you are on a tram and there's too many people and you need to escape into rural Japan,
sure,
this is a lovely game. Now, it is only out on beta.
So how do you, can you get onto, like, how did you get onto that?
The power of celebrity?
Where the dice men come
from. I was given an entry to get in nice and early, so nice. I was able to do that, which is wonderful. So, look, it plays in about 10 or 15 minutes. Really, really straightforward. You can play it as a solo, and they'll put in up to three AI competitors against you, or you can do pass and play. And pass and play works really well in this because the board on the phone is very simple to read. You can zoom in and out so you can easily see what's the next stop or what's the next stop that actually interests you as your particular character going for your particular set of things. The scoring is simple. The game is beautiful. It is only the base game, so it doesn't have the going back version and it doesn't have the crossroads or the other encounters that it has on that. But that'll no doubt get there as the game releases and then hopefully find some success. So look, I just wanted to highlight this game because it is going to be coming out in the not too distant future. There are plenty of games out there on the iOS that are very much, you know, competitive because that's what we do vast majority of the times. And I just like to highlight a game which is really, really quite beautiful. It is also really a game where I don't think anyone should play it where they really care about the result because the experience, I find, personally, is just really nice fun. It is really calming, really beautiful. I know that sounds a bit naff, but board gaming needs that.
You need a bit of that. I would kill to see a table flip because of Takedo.
Look,
I think you'd see a table flip if someone bought the $400 deluxe edition and someone bent an arm on a mini or something. Yeah. Dare I say,
and I'm just going to put the men in the Dice Men Cometh for a moment and say something completely pig sexist. Okay, that dare I say that this is a game about gathering, mm-hmm, as opposed to a game about hunting. To go back to the traditional gender separation of roles in the village, and that this is a game that skews a bit more female. I think than many of the games that we play. So this is something that like I know that our partners, for example, don't mind playing this.
Not at all. Yeah.
I was about to say my wife and our friend Georgie, they have played my version of this with the expansion, and I haven't yet. I think I got called away that night, and they just went, "We're still going to play it." Went,
yeah,
fine.
Look, I think it's also a fantastic introduction to the hobby because it introduces a lot of mechanics that are in further on and more detailed games that we play. Anyway, I love this game.
Yep.
Moving on to the next thing, Mysterium.
I've heard of this.
Okay, so Mysterium, which was a little bit popular, and it really put a lot of the social interaction, back into the forefront for board gaming, is coming out as an app.
To give it the elevator pitch for anyone who doesn't know about Mysterium, it's Cluedo meets Dixit.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you're trying to solve the mystery of a murder by interpreting these sort of surreal pieces of art.
Yes.
Giving hints to each other. I have no idea how the hell this would work on an app.
Yeah, so,
because it's a real social deduction.
It is
game.
Really social. And look, one player is playing the ghost and has to describe the pictures that they're seeing to certain players and blah, 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 blah. It is a great way to spend an hour or two with the right group of people, that's for sure.
Yeah.
However, it has been delayed in coming out from December only to January by Asmodee. And the reason for that is to one of Asmodee's other games, which is Cult Express. Now, Cult Express, which is already out there on Board Game Arena in the internets, had an app come out a little while ago, and some people liked it, some people didn't. But its major criticism was that the multiplayer didn't really work that well, which is kind of bad for a game like Cult Express.
Yeah. While we're on Cult Express, I should bring it up. I actually played this on Saturday.
Yep.
At the pub.
This is the real game.
Yeah.
So you sat at the pub on a Saturday with a sort of little cardboard stagecoach in front of you making cowboy and Indian noises.
Yes. And then my point of this being is that this is a game that's predominantly aimed at younger kids. I've played this with like six-year-olds. I was the youngest person there at the age of 29. Six of us, all with a pint in hand playing this game, had an absolute blast. This game is a perler. You just need five or six people for it to be like that.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Anything less, don't play it. But at that, it's good.
Yeah, but for those of us who'd rather stay in on a Saturday night
and fall asleep in front of the TV.
Exactly.
Sorry.
There is the app version. So, look, Cult Express came out, had some issues with the multiplayer. Asmodee said, that's not so good. So they released an update which really fixed it. It allowed you to quite easily, if you and I were friends, Leon, I could create a room. I could create a room on the internet for this game and invite you to play my game.
Oh.
So in another dimension, who knows, that might have happened. But because of what Asmodee has learnt from the launch of Cult Express, they have delayed the release of Mysterium, but only by, say, a month to 6 weeks. Now, another one that I've only just discovered is Ascension, which is a bit of a, you know, well-known online deck builder.
Yeah.
But I've started to play that quite a bit over the last week or so, and I've really, really enjoyed it. It's got that mythical feel. It's a very simple deck builder, again, where you've got your two major currencies. It's this one, it's buying stuff, and the other one is fighting stuff.
How does it compare to, what was the World of Warcraft one that we were playing?
World of Warcraft?
Hearthstone.
Yeah. So Hearthstone is more you're competing against a real person, and it is more immediately violent, I guess, in the card abilities. In that, all you're doing is, look, all you're really trying to do is you're trying to smash the other player's cards, and you're ultimately trying to defeat the other player's hero. Yeah. Whereas this one, you're trying to collect the most victory points out of a known pool. So in the initial game where you're playing against two players, there is 60 victory points. You try want to be the one who is getting the most victory points out of that.
Man, I had a 2 week holiday in Bali, and I just hammered the hotel Wi-Fi with Hearthstone for two weeks nonstop. Came back to Australia, didn't pick it up again.
No, there's nothing to look at in Bali, so why would you?
Well, Hearthstone has had a massive series of updates in the last couple of weeks. So that's had like 1 to 2 gig worth of updates recently.
All right, so Ascension is a bit more involved?
No, it's a bit more basic again until you get into the more advanced and more in-app purchased versions of it.
Right.
But again, for that easy deck builder, I've compared it to Star Realms, which I've played a bit of, and Summoner Wars, which I know is not a deck builder, but it's again that kind of game where you can just lose yourself for 15 minutes, half an hour, simple deck sort of construction and use, and it plays really well on the phone, and I've been getting a lot of joy out of it. And for me, it's also free, which I really, really like.
Well, if this is the one I'm thinking of, yeah, they've got the physical version as well, but
correct.
But the app version is actually more popular, and it's been out for ages, and there's heaps of it.
Mm.
So it's a solid one to have a try, that's for sure.
Exactly right. So that's pretty much what I've got. I will keep you updated on when Takedo actually comes out for public release and
and how Mysterium actually works.
I just want to punch that smug look
it's
off
very
your face.
Smug. This is why we're not friends, guys.
No, but look, I am really curious to see how Mysterium works, because that game, you need to have a group of people sitting around a real table or a virtual table at the right time.
No,
otherwise,
no big screen, no deck of cards. Yeah. I have no idea how it's going
to
work.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
Hey, it wouldn't be the Dice Men Cometh without a chance to win a bunch of games from us, which we'll tell you exactly how you can do that in just a moment. And we'll also talk about our games of the year, 2016, the year of our Lord, on End Radio.
Excellent.
Solid.
Song, please.
Solid.
A little light sunshower from Flower Truck. You're listening to the Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Trent, Garth, and Leon here with you this evening, about to wrap things up.
Yes, and why would we not give you some information about how you can win some stuff?
I can't imagine why we wouldn't do that.
I don't know, and I don't know why I said that at the start of my introduction.
But please continue, because you have my attention.
I don't think I have anybody else's, even my own. Right, so we're running a competition, which is called There Ain't No Party Like a Dice Men Cometh Competition Party. Yeah! Been up for 14 hours already. So what we are going to do, thanks to our lovely friends at Area 52 right here in sunny old Hubert, is give away four games. We've got Little Cthulhu, which is a game we haven't played, but it looks interesting. We've got Sushi Go Party, which is a brilliant game. We've got Sheriff of Nottingham, which is a brilliant game. And we've got Punderdome, which is a game. So we're going to be giving those away.
I hope you listened last week, because it was full of Punderdome puns.
I sadly had to edit it while I didn't feel very good on Sunday. So that was joyous. So yes, we're giving away these games, and most of them are pretty good. So what you have to do is go to thedicemancometh.com and you have to find a thing. Somebody explain it better.
It's a Christmassy themed picture. It's a picture of me in a horrible Christmas sweater, which actually on closer inspection is the coolest thing you've ever seen.
It might have a Mogwai on it. It's hard to say.
So click on that photo and the rest should be self-explanatory.
Yes.
But if the clicking on the photo doesn't work, maybe just send us an email to dicemencometh@gmail.com saying, this is my entry for my Christmas Ain't No Party Like a Dice Man Cometh Christmas Party.
Christmas Party Game Party.
Please give me free stuff.
And spend hours searching because it's really, really difficult to find. When did we launch the competition? Last week, wasn't it? On episode 144.
Correct.
And that's running all through the month of December-ween, which is, of course, the end of 2016. So it seems appropriate to do our game of the year and to absolutely qualify what it is we're talking about here. We're talking about games that have come out in 2016.
Like Cosmic Encounter.
What we have played that we've enjoyed the most.
I was nearly going to do that.
Okay. I played Cosmic Encounter this year.
No, it's not the games we've played the most. Look, I can tell you the games that I've played the most this year, if you like.
Yeah, how about you go first then?
All right, so that would be a tie between The Grizzled and Imperial Assault.
Okay, neither of those are qualified for Game of the Year.
But they would be the games that I've played the most this
year. Well, they are both really, really, really good options.
I think they're 2014-2015 games.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care. I'm stealing it. Just to give the audience a bit of a peek behind the curtain, I have no idea what I was going to have as my game.
Well, shut up and have a think about it.
No, I know. It's The Grizzled's the answer. Its English release was this year.
Just to help you, it's also not games that you purchased this year necessarily.
No.
Mm-hmm. Because this year I got Voyages of Marco Polo,
yep.
Last Will, Scoville, and a bunch of other things. But there's three games right there which are fantastic.
All excellent.
Mm. Right? But again, not necessarily released in 2016. And it's a little bit hard in Australia because, of course, games take so long to get here.
Well, especially when you're in the bottom arse end of Australia, they have to travel a little bit further.
That's right. So, you know, everybody just wants their little piece of the action on the way here. So there's a whole bunch of games that have come out this year that we haven't played yet. Cry Havoc.
Yep.
Right? Everyone's talking about this sci-fi arena combat area control thing. You've ordered it, Leon.
Sometime in the next couple of weeks, I believe it's going to arrive in a little doorstep.
Can't wait to play Cry Havoc. Conan?
Yes.
All right, the Kickstarter's only just sort of fulfilling. A friend of mine's picked that up. I'm going to try that next week.
Yeah, wonderful.
Secret Hitler. Haven't played that yet.
Really?
I played that on Saturday, and we only played one game of it, which lasted an hour.
Wow.
And it was brilliant because I won.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I want to play Scythe more.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. That's a very good shout.
I played it once and didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Want to play it again just to confirm it. Star Wars Rebellion, played it once, didn't like it. Need to really confirm that, though.
No, you don't. Leon, we need to play it, though, with someone else.
Yes, I've played it the second time, and I enjoyed it the second time as well.
Vast, the Crystal Caverns, and dare I say, I still want to play Seafall.
Okay.
Right, because I've actually swung back the other way, where after all the hype and Seafall came out and people realised it was just a board game,
mm-hmm.
okay, and not, you know, the second coming of Christ, that it can't be that bad, can it?
Well, you would think it cannot be with the quality of Rob Davio and his co-designer.
And it's Plaid Hat as well, who don't do much wrong.
Look, I've said this before, that I think it is just that necessary next step from Pandemic Legacy to Seafall to something that will be a really legitimately great Legacy game. And I'm certainly not talking about Pandemic Legacy Season 2, which does look, from the little couple of pictures that we've seen, quite a departure from the Season 1 version. But I reckon having a dedicated, from the ground up, Legacy game, which is what Seafall was and is a necessary step.
Well, it comes to the first problem with Legacy games is that you can't try it. You either play it for 24 hours or you don't play it at all.
So, no one was more surprised to find than me that my game of the year was, in fact, Mantis of Madness, the second edition.
Bum, bum, bum.
From Fantasy Flight Games, and it's not a game we've really talked about a great deal on the show.
No.
Maybe we'll do that next week once Garth here has had a chance to have a crack. It is bloody fantastic. The fact that an app was needed in this game to reduce the setup and the bookkeeping was a given. But Fantasy Flight Games have really, really just knocked it out of the park and taken it to the next level, to the point where perhaps it's almost maybe less of a game and more of a video game that players are just walking through. That's a fair criticism, but it's just one of those Fantasy Flight games that is an experience that you really, and either you're in for that or you're not, I suppose, because the experience in and of itself is worth your time. I also love the fact that Mansions of Madness integrates the old sets.
That's wonderful that they actually
did that. The second edition still uses the first edition bits, because I think a lot of people were burnt by the first edition because of that long setup time and its fiddliness. So Mansions of Madness second edition, massive hit for me, my game of the year.
Yeah, wow, that's fantastic. And look, I will be playing it in the next week, and I am very excited because I know you have played it, Trent. Mark played it. Both of you have raved about it. Leon, have you had a chance to play Second Ed yet?
No, no one's invited me. I'm not cool anymore.
Oh, well, there you go.
Maybe you need some friends. Garth.
Yes.
Your game of the year.
Well, exactly. I try to be friends with Leon, but he won't come to the toilet with me. So anyway, my game of the year, look, there's a lot of similar names on the list for the also-rans that you mentioned, Trent. Star Wars Rebellion, I think, is arguably one of the best two-player games that is out there at the moment. It certainly gives a lot of people an opportunity to play that two-player tense struggle if you can't be bothered to go through the whole Cold War mechanic, and the theme may not do it for you if you're the USA versus the Russians of Twilight Struggle. So I think that's fantastic. Also has a lot of beautiful minis, apparently, because mine are still with people who are painting them.
Well, this is the problem. We played one game. You handed them over to your mate, Adrian, to get them painted, and it's taken a long time. We haven't had a chance to play it again.
He did well. It was just Oren. He didn't give me because I split it up. I gave one lot the Rebels and one lot the Empire.
You know what you could do? Paint your own goddamn miniatures and hurry up about it.
As some famous meme says, ain't nobody got time for that, except Oren and Aiden. So anyway, that one was up there. Again, I think Scythe is certainly vying for Game of the Year, but I am biased because I did buy it, and it looks so pretty.
And you spent all that money.
I think it's an investment because, Leon, you bought a copy too and sold it and made lots of money.
I did, and the expansion for that is, I believe it's just been released in the States.
I'm waiting for it, Invaders from Afar. I've put my copy in. It is on the list of games released in 2016. Another game that would be certainly up there, which I did disqualify, was Dead of Winter The Long Night. Because even though it is a standalone game, it's really just an expansion. If you've played it, the base game, obviously it's a big box standalone game expansion, but it's 90% the same game. So
yeah, gee, it's good though.
It is absolutely fantastic. Another one that is a completely from a different category would be Sushi Go Party. Very much the party game, very much the game that is my kid's favourite. It is so accessible. And if you love Seven Wonders but no one plays it with you because it's too long or too complicated or you can't find enough people, go to Sushi Go Party because everybody likes it. Yeah. That is just a fantastic game for me.
I was almost going to say that myself, mainly because I was grasping at straws. But but also because, yeah, we've said it many times. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So, look, let me get to the proper one. And it's going to be Terraforming Mars for me.
Wow. Really?
So Terraforming Mars for me was brilliant.
Okay.
Now,
I played it for 2 minutes.
Exactly. And look, I think it was fantastic what you did, Leon, because the short story
Stop playing and nick
no,
off.
No, well, the short story was 9 a.m., 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, we were sitting down playing it.
After 48 hours of BorderCon already.
Yeah.
PAX.
That's the point, yes.
We flipped open the rule book. And we started, and within about 1 minute, Leon said, I'm out, this isn't for me. So,
because we were playing Lisboa about 3 hours later, and was going to take us all day.
Right.
And I was just honest, I didn't want to be that guy that sits there and complains and moans that I'm not in the mood for this. I straight away said, no, sorry lads, I'm out right now.
Exactly right. Because, and I think that was fantastic, because it meant that we didn't have to spend as much time with Leon, so that was lovely. But more importantly, we enjoyed the game, so that was great. And so, it also cut down game time because we played with 4 instead of 5.
Based on your and Mark talking about Terraforming Mars last week, I have found a copy one Australian game shop, and it's on its way.
Excellent. So look, the condensed version of why is It combines card drafting, it combines area control, it combines hand management, resource gathering, and it plays in an hour and a half, and it doesn't involve sheep farming.
It's
brilliant.
Mars, man. Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. Just play it. I know we've had at least one listener go and find a copy based on our talking about it last week, so that's amazing.
G'day, Richard.
Leon, go to your game of the year. We've only got a couple of minutes.
Now,
this will be interesting because while we've been talking, Leon's just been flat out Googling on his phone looking for something to nominate as his game of the year.
Well,
because that's the level of dedication and preparation that he brings to the show.
I didn't know I was going to be on the show until I had time. There's no excuse. Well, since I can't have the Grizzled, which is the answer. The answer is the Grizzled.
The Grizzled did release an expansion this year, didn't they?
The Grizzled is an 11 out of 10 game. But I think I found it.
Okay.
Burgle Bros.
Burgle Brothers?
Oh, yes.
Was that this year? Because I was just tense radio here. I can't spell it properly.
You just typed in Burger Brothers. We're just checking to see if this was the one with the it's a map of a building and your jewel thieves or something breaking into a bank or
yeah pretty much it's a board game version of an old game called Bonanza Brothers on the Sega like 20 odd years ago.
Burgle Brothers was 2015, doesn't qualify.
Well, my game of the year is nothing. I don't want to. Yeah, I'm not being negative. It's been a great year for games, but there is nothing that like Scythe was really good, but I've only played it one and a half times, so I'm not going to give it to that. Mm-hmm. But there was just nothing that absolutely jumped out at me. I've played heaps this year, and I've enjoyed more than I've disliked.
What have you played the most?
The Grizzled.
Okay.
Yeah, probably the Grizzled's the one that I kept going back to, but it's just of late year we've been playing absolutely everything at least once, and then that's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, a game that I thought you would put up there would be Secret Hitler, because you've played that a couple of times now, and every time you play it, you do say you really enjoy it.
I do really enjoy it, but at the end of the day, it's not hugely much more than like another version of Resistance kind of thing. So no. I can't give it to it because it's not that innovative. Innovative.
Correct.
That's the one. And things
well, look,
of that
let's
nature.
Give you Grizzled purely because the At Your Orders expansion did come out in 2016.
Yeah, but to steal the It's an Amazing Game It Didn't Come Out This Year, or the Garth Rule, as we call it.
Cosmic Encounter's the best!
Yeah, Twilight Imperium I played this year for the first time. That was amazing. No Thanks, which I can't go a show without talking about.
Oh,
apparently.
My God. What a fantastic little card game.
Well, I said to someone the other day, I said, it's 33 cards, 55 chips. Cost $10. And it's an 11 out of 10 game.
And you will never swear more in your life.
No.
While you're playing that game.
Which is a bit concerning when you play it most of the time in cafes or restaurants or pubs. So there's lots of strangers walking by going, why are these people saying all these obscene language?
But yes.
So there we go. Our games of the year on the Dice Men Cometh. We have Terraforming Mars.
Yes.
We have Mansions of Madness, the second edition. And sort of, kind of, maybe the Grizzled. And particularly the At Your Orders expansion, which came out this year.
The Grizzled wasn't in the conversation last year, and it would have won last year if I was allowed it then, but I hadn't played it yet, so there you go.
All right, so that brings us to the end of another show. I think next week, should we talk about what it is we're looking forward to next year?
Yeah.
In the future.
Would that be your Kickstarters that were due to be sent out 2014?
Oh, how much time have you got?
Yeah, well, we've got an hour.
Right.
I won't be here. I'll be out, so it'll be Mark filling in, and he'll be able to probably talk about his game of the year as well.
Okay, so, Leon, you can feel a bit more comfortable
in the
studio.
Will I be here? I'm going to be
next
here.
Week. So that's next week on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, The Dice Men Cometh, signing off. See you later.
Bye.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.